Today our readings correspond so beautifully about Abraham and God's covenant. In that first reading from the book of Genesis, we see that at this time he was known as Abram. And God spoke to him and he entered into a covenant. A covenant is much more than a legal contract. A covenant is a sacred bond, a sacred relationship. God would always be faithful to his end of the covenant, even though God's people were not always faithful to their side. God is always faithful to his part of the covenant. He tells Abram that he will become the father of a host of nations, and that he will now have his name changed to Abraham, the father of many nations. There's only a few times in Scripture where God ever changes someone's name. We have, of course, Abraham is the most famous in the Old Testament, and the New Testament, it is Peter. His name was Simon. And Jesus says, from now on, you will be Kepha, Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. So we have this important contrast between Abraham, from Abram to Abraham, and from Simon to Peter in the New Testament. And he tells Abraham that his descendants will be more numerous than the stars in the sky or the grains of sand on the shore. And now in the gospel, we have the Jewish leaders, or religious leaders, attacking the Lord because Jesus says, "Amen, amen. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death." Will never see death. It says that they objected and said, "What do you mean? Are you?" He says, "We're sure you're possessed." See, sometimes they called Jesus a Samaritan, which meant a heretic. Sometimes they called Jesus possessed because they're saying Abraham died, the prophets died, yet you're saying whoever keeps my word will never experience death. The Lord, of course, is referring to eternal life. He's referring to the grace of God within the soul that lasts forever. Of course, the body dies, but the Lord is referring here to eternal life, heavenly life, the gift of everlasting life. So whoever, Jesus says, accepts my word and keeps my word will never experience the ultimate death, which is hell. They will have eternal life and they will live forever. And they were so upset with the Lord, they said, "Are you greater than our father Abraham who died, or the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Well, we talked about this a few days ago, about just who is Christ. They did not understand that he was the eternal Son of God, the eternally begotten of the Father. How does the Lord respond? He says, "If I glorify myself, my glory is worth nothing. But it is my Father who glorifies me." So Jesus is revealing his divinity. He's saying he is one with the Father. It's the Father who glorifies me. Then Jesus says, "You do not know him." He's talking to the religious leaders. "But I know him. And if I should say that I don't know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and I keep his word." And then the Lord again refers to Abraham. He says, "Abraham, your father rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." What does that mean? That Abraham rejoiced to see my day. It seems that Abraham was given some sort of infused knowledge, some sort of a vision of the Redeemer. Remember when he took his son Isaac up the mountain and was going to sacrifice him? And you know, the question was asked, you know, "Where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" And God said, And Abraham said, "God himself will supply the lamb." And after God prevented Abraham from sacrificing Isaac, it seems he had some sort of a divine light or infusion of grace to help him to understand that one day the Redeemer would come, that he was given some sort of a preview of the coming attraction of the resurrection. And in fact, we have a quotation here from Pope Paul VI, one of his documents. He says, "The future fulfillment of the messianic promises was a source of great joy for Abraham." And this is a quote from Paul VI. Abraham our father, who was set apart for the future accomplishment of the promise, and who hoped against hope, receives, when his son Isaac is born, the prophetic first fruits of this joy. This joy becomes transfigured through a trial touching death, when this only son is restored to him alive, a prefiguring of the resurrection of the one who was to come, the only Son of God, promised for the redeeming sacrifice. Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing the day of Christ, the day of salvation. He saw it and was glad. So the church has always speculated that Abraham was infused with some sort of a prophecy, some sort of a vision of Jesus the Redeemer. That's why Jesus says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. And then the final part of today's gospel, the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and yet you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, amen, amen. Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say to you, this is one of the most shocking things the Lord would ever say. This was so shocking to the Jewish leaders that they picked up stones because they were going to kill him right on the spot for blasphemy. He says, before Abraham came to be, I am. And using the words of God, before Abraham ever existed, I always was there as the eternal God. Again, so hard for the religious leaders to understand. Jesus reveals his divinity. Before Abraham ever existed, I was always there. He is the great I am. That's why they picked up stones, because they thought they were hearing blasphemy. It says, but Jesus hid and he walked out of the temple area. It was not his time yet. A few weeks later, Jesus would place himself in the hands of evil men and allow them to crucify him. But at this time, it was not yet his time. But they wanted to kill him because they believed he was making himself equal to the Father. He was claiming to be God, claiming to be greater than Abraham, and claiming divinity. And they just couldn't take it. That's why they had planned on stoning him. But again, it was not yet his time.